Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, who's barking?
I think that's outside my window.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sorry.
Recording in progress.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Vince Neil fell off the stage and broke his ribs this week. I know what you're thinking. But we at the Livecast take no pleasure in this news. All our jokes these last few months were only trying to warn Vince and save him from this sad fate. But did he listen? No. Get well soon, Vince. We have so many more jokes to make. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
We hope that Neil is doing well and he's back home now after a rib injury this weekend. We're going to talk all about it. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid.
Hello.
Darren. And Noah.
Was it edible
Darren's
ribs?
Muted.
Barbecue ribs?
No, he broke his ribs. His human ribs have been broken.
He had a plate of St. Louis-style ribs he was eating on during his set. And he fell off the stage and the ribs shattered and he couldn't eat them anymore.
Is it fair to say that Vince Neil didn't do enough of those electronically assisted crunches and that would have toughened him up?
Or,
if he had
or,
only...
or maybe too many, where his ribs have been softened by those neurotransmitters.
There's definitely crunching going on.
He just has too good of a work ethic in the gym, you're saying. That's just what it is. He's just too much of a workaholic. He doesn't know, you know, when you're an athlete and you don't know when to dial it, ratchet it down, you know,
yeah.
That's Vince Neil. He's just a pure athlete and he doesn't know when to come back from that cliff. You know,
I'm
that's
sorry,
the one
has,
thing about being an athlete.
Has the definition of athlete changed?
Yes. Just now. We just officially changed it.
I'm petitioning to change it. I just called Webster's.
What's your definition of athlete? Give us a call. Let us know. 213-WIDENUT. 213-943-3688. So Vince Neil, we've been talking about Vince the last few weeks. He's been the guy.
He's been our champion.
Yeah.
He's been our
I feel
comeback.
Like that's kind of how we started. That's how we got on the Vince Neil kick. Is with his wonderful cameo a few months ago, maybe like a year or two ago now. After that we started paying attention to his solo shows where we realized the man is not delivering vocally at all, to comic effect sometimes.
Well, the real funny thing is we watched his cameos and he would just kind of indiscriminately shout out his song titles and lyrics as a cameo. And then
of the cameos we've listened to, I would say he was the most half-assed.
Yes.
So go ahead.
But then we watched his live shows and realized he's doing the same thing. He just doesn't know the words anymore.
This is his best. This
and
is the best he's got.
All he can do is indiscriminately shout out song titles and lyrics.
That should be the name of the tour, Indiscriminately Shouting at the Devil.
words. Sometimes they're in order, sometimes not. Words.
Darren mentioned it, you know, Motley Crue, they have a big reunion tour. It's been pushed back a little because of the COVID. It's happening next summer. Tickets are very expensive. The cheapest tickets are over $120 for like the last row in the football stadium.
But
very expensive
less
tickets.
Less than a cameo by Vince Neil.
Yes.
Do you get to eat his broken ribs?
Oh,
well, maybe
would you
now.
Want to?
So there's a lot of pressure. It's like, hey,
that's
people are paying a lot of money. And, you know, he's doing these solo shows at a significantly lower price, and significantly smaller venues. He's not playing football stadiums. And it's clear when his voice is coming through the PA, like his actual voice and not the backing tracks, he is not sounding very well. And
that's your opinion, man.
I think it was collectively our opinion when we watched this footage.
Yeah.
But
it's also true that it is your opinion. She wasn't wrong.
Oh, that's fair. That is fair.
I want to be charitable to Vince Neil. I really do. I do think, not being real for a second, I think that Motley Crue gave me a lot of enjoyment in my life. I would say a Motley Crue fan up until Dr. Feelgood. And I've kind of sad, honestly, to see him like decomposing like this.
I feel like within the last few weeks, I don't remember if it was like a Facebook comment on one of the Metal Injection posts or something, but I saw someone comment somewhere about how like you shouldn't be making fun of Vince. His friends are legitimately concerned about him right now. He's not well, blah, blah, blah. And it gave me pause, and I was just like, man, is this going to like turn ugly and then we're going to feel bad about our jokes? And then, I mean, I'm glad he's not dead because then I might actually feel guilty, but this is like almost that.
I mean, I don't really feel like he's in danger of, he doesn't look like a suicidal guy. He's just like a slovenly, like stop giving a shit.
I don't think it's like suicide as much as just like self-destruction.
You think he's like really like hitting drugs hard and stuff? I don't know. It looks like he just
alcoholic.
Gave up. Like he just eats all whatever he wants. And you know what I mean? Like he's rich. I hope,
you know, fall off the wrong stage. You might not get up.
Yeah, true.
Or maybe all the partying is just catching up with him. And
my guess is he just doesn't give a shit. And this is like an easy way to make money. He's not putting any effort into it, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And I hope he gets help.
I feel he's just a bit of a glutton too. Like he just overindulges himself and doesn't really, maybe he's depressed. Like he doesn't really put an effort into like bettering. He keeps taking shortcuts. Like, so Darren was joking earlier that a few weeks ago he posted the silliest Instagram post. He was at some like, you know, LA wellness clinic, getting in shape, and getting in shape was basically strapping a bunch of like sensors onto his gut that instead of doing crunches, the sensors trigger his muscles as if he was doing crunches, which that's like something I came up with stoned when I was like 19, you know, so glad that it exists.
That's something they do in physical therapy though, Rob, for like muscle injuries.
Rob invented physical therapy.
I mean,
Vince
look.
Neil, I guess now when Vince Neil inevitably needs physical therapy, he'll be prepared.
My muscles are still twitching from the last time, man. It's great. It worked great. No, that's not supposed to happen. Oh, all right, man. That sucks, man.
Do you think he's going to do cameos like while he's nursing these broken ribs?
Well, he's been not doing cameo for a while.
But now he's got medical bills.
You're right.
He needs that money. Earlier, Darren said we should be charitable to Vince Neil. I think by donating to the Kickstarter, he's about to, for the GoFundMe. He's got casts and shit.
I wonder if he'd be that charitable.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know if he needs, like, but that's what we were saying. We were saying, like, it can't be, in previous episodes we said, it can't be because he loves the stage he's half-assing it. If he loved the stage, he would have, put in more of an effort. So we deduced that it might be that he just needs the money. But, like, what does he need the money for? I guess alimony? Like, what is he?
Spent a lot of it, probably.
Yeah. Probably has a large lifestyle. So he's on the road. He has a series of solo shows. And
I was going to say it's probably fair to say for at least 20 years he's been spending more than he's been taking in. I don't know how much more, but I think that's probably a fair assessment.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
And he just really likes foie gras, the high-end caviar, which, I mean,
he is foie
the caviar
gras.
Is expensive.
How do
he's
you know that?
He's a walking foie gras.
Just he likes anything that would give you gout. He looks like he probably has gout.
He's like that Bugs Bunny cartoon when they're on a deserted island and the person looks at the other person, they see a leg of lamb. That's what Vince Neil is now. He's the leg of lamb.
So, I thought you meant he like looks over at Mick Mars and tries to take a bite out of him.
There's no meat on there. Gaunt.
Yeah.
So on Friday, I posted this. I was very proud of this headline. New footage of Vince Neil performing Motley Crue classics in Tampa surfaces for you to suffer through.
Oh, man. So mean.
I mean, it's the truth.
Rob,
that looks pretty good in that blurry photo.
Yeah, it looks a little chubby, but not, you know, he doesn't look like...
I was going to say, he looks thinner than we've seen
him.
Can
you hear it?
It's those shockers.
It's still loading, and you just muted it.
Oh.
You sabotaging your own clip, Rob? What's going on?
Yep.
Did it fall off the stage, the internet stage?
This is probably the best way to enjoy this clip.
Yeah.
All right, let me just get, you know, there's a long intro. Oh, here we go.
But this isn't him falling down.
No.
Okay.
This is the day before. So it's like, hey, guys, he's on the road and he's not sounding good. That was the story.
Let's
and then
see
the next day, I wake up and it's like, holy shit, Vince Steel fell. I was like, oh no.
See, he read your article.
Yeah.
I definitely felt a little guilty that I wrote that headline.
Oh, he's so full of shit.
You have
oh,
the power
no.
to change it.
Vince Steel fell down today. What will I do?
It's not like you're not the editor of this website. You could have just.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to cover this. It's so,
you know, that's,
it's so against my principles, but I have to. It's news.
Oh, no. I mean, I was like. It was more like, oh, Vince Neil, you've done it again.
Oh, no, as Rob looks at a sack of money
yeah.
with a dollar sign.
Listen,
Vince Neil wasn't
the only one with bills to pay.
Yeah, Rob did fall down the subway stairs.
Yeah.
You're well, that's why I sympathize.
And he also likes expensive caviar. So.
By the way, I woke up with bruises that day when Rob fell down.
That works.
Weird.
Can we watch this video and see if there's any foreshadowing? Like he does something that might lead him to tomorrow fall down off of the stage.
Do you think when he fell that another member of Hanoi Rocks like fell out their like 20th story window? It's a similar connection as to Rob and Darren, but
yeah,
like
I thought it was Hanoi
middle.
Rocks.
I don't know. Hanoi.
Say? I thought it's Hanoi.
Look at how many phones are out. Everyone's just here to capture.
Well, because they want to get on Metal Injection. They know that this footage is gold.
EMG
all right, let's
metal.
Listen to some of it.
Yeah.
Not on your
his
phone.
Vocal.
It didn't happen.
That's right. How would we know that he fell if we didn't have footage of that, too?
The backing track,
that's,
as always.
That's a fair point.
I can't. You can't even hear him.
No.
That's probably for the best, Noah.
Hollywood.
Hollywood.
For the sake of discussion, I would like to hear what he sounds like singing.
He's a
Shoppy.
All right. So my qualitative analysis here so far, he actually is somewhat on key. He's not saying any intelligible words, though.
Except Hollywood.
He's got the tune.
It's the last word of the lyric he'll say.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, yabba dabba do, yabba dabba Hollywood.
Yeah, let me go back a little.
He seems kind of low energy, huh?
Yeah, there's not words there.
Feel good. Shooby-dooby-dooby-dooby, feel good.
I feel like if our cats ever had a singing career, they would sound like that.
If my cat sounded like that, I would take it to the doctor immediately.
Oh. There we go.
Okay, now you can hear him.
This is the backing track, though. This is the chorus.
Okay.
Smoking
okay,
it aloud in
it.
School.
Oh, boy.
Well, people are having a good time.
Sure.
Not as many phones.
Oh, they're all out.
Oh, never mind. Spoke too soon.
I have to say this is slightly less half-assed than the other performance we saw.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think he sounds that terrible.
Yeah, that one wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, so he did that performance. He's like, you know, I think my voice is finally starting to come back. That was better. I feel progress is being made. And then the next day he falls off the fucking stage. He's just, like, laid up in traction now. Like, poor bastard.
Universe knows when to put a banana peel under your foot.
Yeah.
The fuck song is this?
No idea.
He's going to cover Nothing Else Matters. Watch. He's never hitting
all the high notes he skips.
Well, he's breathing. He's inhaling.
In the world.
emergency room. Right? Is that the lyric now?
Look at this photo. Very unflattering.
Tonight, I need my oxygen.
All right. And then the next night, Vince Neil rushed with broken ribs.
And the broken ribs have been confirmed?
Yeah, that's what Motley Crue
said,
yes.
Or Motley Crue has to comment on this.
Wait, there's video?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's like a trap door open.
Oh. And his hands were up, so he probably couldn't break his fall. Oh. And he's holding a guitar.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't help laughing.
Yeah,
the guitar probably landed on him after he fell the way the steel chair landed on Mick Foley, but he broke through the top of the Hell in the Cell. Poor
guy. That's why his ribs are broken.
It might be.
Can we watch that again?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to watch it like 40 times, Noah. Don't you worry.
Can we watch it again?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
All motion, please.
I'm so disappointed that the video cuts off right after he drops. I want to see, like, the crowd reaction.
Well, they probably pick him up. Actually, no. He probably falls into the photo pit, so there's no people to catch him. Ugh. No.
What was that? Whoa, I didn't hear that first two times.
Oh, yeah. It's,
I'm sorry for laughing. I really do feel bad, but it's so funny.
That looks rough. You're right. His hands totally did not stop
that
his
is
fall.
The worst way to fall when you completely have no idea that it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I really feel bad. I'm not even making a joke now. I really feel bad for laughing. I just can't help it.
How does he know? Is he like an EMT? Is he a paramedic?
He's a bassist.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he gonna come back and sing.
No, he doesn't.
I will say, when Dave Grohl broke his leg, he finished the set.
Well, how old was Dave Grohl at that time?
I guess that's true. Touche.
And how much coke was he on?
You know, Mick Mars must be sitting at home because this guy fucking three broken ribs. I have fucking spina bifida for like 40 years.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about, bitch?
Oh, my God.
Stop whining.
Oh.
It's just such a no pun intended. It's such a fall from grace that, like, this guy used to survive fatal car wrecks, and now he can't even negotiate a fucking concert stage without hurting himself. It's like, man, you used to be invincible, and now you're
invincible.
Maybe it was invincible. Maybe it was all the makeup and the hairspray somehow gave him an aura of invincibility, and now he doesn't really do that anymore, and that cost him.
Virility. Yeah.
Ironically. And also, it's the lack of cocaine and heroin in his system. It was just like.
Now he actually feels
shell of immunity. Yeah.
Oh,
is he like sober? Is that like a known thing?
No, well, look at him. Does he look sober?
Well, look.
Probably rock star.
Knowing about Motley Crue's history, as we've watched on our Patreon episode, you know, it could just be a side effect of all the partying. The way he looks.
Well,
he's not doing heroin, at least.
Yeah, he's rock star sober. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can't speak. But I know Nikki Sixx for sure does not drink.
How do you know that?
I guess I don't know for sure, Yeah.
But he doesn't appear to be doing hard drugs, at least from my remote diagnosis. Like, he looks like a drunk. He looks
cameo was just, he was slurring the words and he was just toasted.
Yeah.
It could also be prescription medications. You don't know.
That's fair.
But what do you think it is? Give us a call. We're above speculating about this deal.
Yeah, but you don't have to
take. But you don't have to be 213 Wyandotte. That's the number 213-943-3688.
Well, if he wasn't on painkillers before, oh boy.
So the
hospitals will get you.
There was an updated story though, Rob. Like, what's his status today?
They fixed the trap door, Noah. That's the most heartwarming part of this. It wasn't damaged.
The floor of the venue is fine.
They were playing at the Apollo where they, like, if you're bad, they just drop you through a hole in the stage.
Oh, my God.
he just hit the wrong spot. According to TMZ, there was a small gap between the speaker and the stage that Vince didn't see, and he fell through the crevice onto the floor.
Should have done a few more electronic ab routines there. He'd be able to see below him a little better.
Was he trying to walk on top of the speaker? Like, what was he doing out there anyway? Come on, Vince.
He didn't see where the stage ended.
Hmm.
Noah, you had a traumatic experience with a speaker. Did this give you any flashbacks?
Well, I didn't fall into the speaker. The speaker fell into me.
Thank God.
But have
not thank God that it fell on you, but thank God.
Like, have
I
you
feel
ever?
Like you got the lesser of the two possibilities.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. This is a giant
vibe.
I'd rather
take that fall than have an 80-pound speaker fall on me.
She could have been killed.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to diminish it. I just thought you're okay now. I thought maybe falling off the stage would be worse.
Well, have you ever missed the last step of, like, stairs or just not seen a step and falling down, like, a foot feels like you're just falling for eternity?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's the worst.
The other one is when you think there is another step and there's not, and your asshole goes into your throat.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Rob has some DVDs where that happens.
Oh.
I have a stare fetish.
That's not what I was talking about, the asshole going into the throat.
I got it.
So you do have them.
Yeah. He said he's got it.
I have both.
Yeah.
Oh, Vince. Don't die, Vince. That's really the bottom line, is we don't want Vince to die.
So
yeah.
So we could feel good about goofing on him more.
Wait, so I'm sorry. So, Rob, so is he out of the hospital? Is he back home?
He's out of the hospital. He's resting at home.
Okay.
Motley Crue said in a statement on social media, Vince is
Motley
back
Crue?
Home and resting. Yes, Motley Crue is banned. They're the main Motley Crue social media account.
But they weren't. Wait, so he was doing a solo show playing Motley Crue songs, and now Motley Crue is commenting on his status.
Well, I'm
he's
assuming
probably
it's like their social media team. It's not like. Yeah, it's not like Nikki Sixx is posting it, you know, it's just one of his reps. And so the post says, Vince is back home and resting after breaking a few ribs on Friday night. Yikes. Our love and best wishes for a speedy recovery and ready to rock in 22.
Yeah, we don't care how you feel now, but just be ready for the tour, motherfucker. That's basically what that tweet says.
So the tour was supposed to start in 2022 anyway, right? Is this correct?
Yes.
I was going to say, what the fuck? You got to, if it's going on now, get the fuck back there. What do you need 3 months off for? Just a couple of ribs.
Oh, well, I wonder if there were solo shows. I'm sure there were some solo shows that got canceled, but.
I think everyone's a winner with that. Vince won't get hurt and people won't get ripped off. So that's fine.
It might sound better. You don't know.
Oh my God.
I did want to read some comments from the post where I wrote, you know, for you to suffer through.
Because
there were, you know, Motley Crue fans that obviously took offense to the sarcasm.
Understandable.
I
usually
so
don't side with the metal injection commenters, but that was a little controversial of a statement.
I will agree. What Blurg writes, get over it, Pasbani. Vince Neil isn't the live streamer he used to be. Stop spamming the site with every video on the internet ever of Vince Neil. Fuck!
Bro, Pasabini or whatever.
What? And SquidHate69 chimes in, these shit articles generate clicks. That's all these shitheads on the site want. Yes, that is the business model.
Yes. So is he even mad? I mean, that just sounds just like an explanation of what's happening.
Then Mledbetter.
Oh, is he yellow?
Oh, that's a good one. Writes, how many hit songs have you sung, piece of crap?
I mean, at karaoke.
Ragging on somebody just trying to give his fans a little more. Three upvotes.
What is
What is he's just better? Trying to give his fans a little more.
Is that song Yellow Ledbetter? That's the only thing I know.
Pearl Jam.
Ledbetter. I know, but like, what does that mean? What is a Ledbetter?
Isn't that like someone's name?
Is it?
Like some blues man.
Okay, I didn't know.
Maybe.
I never really even thought about it.
Maybe that's for the best.
There were a few people that were like, time to call it quit, Vince. Time to call it quits.
What
Vince.
Are the comments like for the falling off the stage post?
Let's see.
That's why I have to disagree that he doesn't care about it. The fact that he's still going, even though it's kind of apparent that he should hang it up, is because he can't. He probably needs the attention. I don't even think it's about money. I think it's really just, what else is he going to do?
Some of them are nice. Some of them are cruel, these comments. Some of them are, I wish Vince Neil a nice and speedy and healthy recovery. The next comment is, he must have landed on his huge, disgusting gut. Probably saved him.
Get that guy on the show. We can hire him as a writer. I like that guy.
Molly Crusher just canceled their tour at Sal Walker's.
Oh, what? Gene Simmons, don't you get any ideas, motherfucker.
Maybe laying on your ass for 30 minutes with a snake oil vibrator on your beer gut isn't the same as moving your ass around enough so your gut isn't heavy enough to topple you off the stage. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Sydney, good idea. I will be marketing an ab electrifier. I mean, it's autumn.
Vince Neil got a call from Gene thinking it was going to be like well wishes for recovery, and Gene just wants to know.
recovery schmovery. Endorse my product.
He wants to sell him a coffin. Vince, you're getting better on. Never mind.
I have a warehouse full of unsold mezuzahs. We can slap your likeness on it. Call them Vince Neil Zuzzas. Sell
some Vince Neil hotcakes.
That too.
At the end of the post, I wrote that everyone here at Metal Injection wishes Vince a speedy recovery. And Eurobeast comments, "Oh really? Everyone at your office got together and was like, yes, we all wish him a speedy recovery and wanted to publicly know.
All of us in the office did that.
Exposed."
I think that guy who wrote that really thinks there's an office. He just doesn't think you did that in it. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
He thinks you're just lying that everyone in the office did that.
Fartstep writes, "You've been taking advantage of every opportunity to show how much you think Vince sucks, and now you're wishing him a speedy recovery. Rob is either one, the world's biggest hypocrite, two, completely fried to the point that he can't remember what he writes anymore, or three, both."
I think it's three.
There should be all of the above option. Yeah. I don't think. Seriously though,
I think I could say he's an awful vocalist and should stop singing, but I don't wish like harm on him.
You want him to stop living?
Yeah, right, exactly. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. You don't have to like want the person to sustain injury just because they suck at performing.
One more exchange I wanted to read here. A lot of hate in the comments. Sad. Spend your time writing hateful messages. The guy got hurt. I'm sure you would not want that to happen to you. And then FTW616 writes, "Hey, if I was making boatloads of money for consecutively sounding like poo, I'd fall off stage too. They could tase me, bro. Light my toupee on fire. Fling monkey poop on me. And just about anything and everything I wanted to do since I was getting paid big bucks to basically suck."
That's ass backwards. If I was getting paid for doing nothing strenuous at all, I'd keep away from the edge of stages so I could keep doing it forever.
Yeah, right?
Talking about. By the way, I love when they break out the sad. Oh, it's so sad. And first of all, you're not sad. That's such an internet cliche. And you just know, I associate that with Trump immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
Though I will say I bet a lot of the commenters on Metal Injection are actually sad, just in general.
Probably true. We have all the best people looking at Vince Neil.
Oh, no.
He'll be back on his feet in no time. Everyone's saying it. Can't wait. Great guy. Terrific guy.
We're giving him the best advertisement. Whatever that is.
Ivermectin?
Ivermectin, I don't know. I forgot. I couldn't even think it.
My next boxing pay-per-view will be right next to me.
Oh, no.
With my
hit son. Him in the ribs. Achilles heel.
Oh, no. Did you see what he said about Colin Powell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me and Rob were chuckling over it this afternoon.
The worst person you know just made a great point.
What did Democrats he say?
He said Colin Powell's a liar that got us into the Iraq war, and he's like, you know, in more or less rude language, he just said he's a piece of shit and, like, stop saying what a good person.
Yeah.
And then at the end he goes, you know.
Well, anyway,
may he rest in peace.
Anyway.
That's like the best Trump is, like, insincere and fake nice Trump.
Here, let me. Okay, so Colin Powell died. Trump goes, wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday. He was a classic rhino, if even that, first to attack other Republicans.
That's where I go off the rails from what he said, because he is just a Republican. He's not a rhino. That's what they fucking do. They bomb things. Just like him.
And here's a line. He made plenty of mistakes, but anyway, may he rest in peace.
I mean, that's exactly what Rob did.
But
right?
Anyway, I wish you could. Yeah, but you're right.
I can say he's a war criminal and not wish for him to die of COVID-19.
that's exactly what Rob did in that post.
Yeah, that's fair. I use the same technique as our former president.
You know, that's the Trump that needs to be, if he's going to be in the public eye, bring that one. That fucking boxing pay-per-view was so boring. It was just well-behaved Trump. I was like, who needs that? And you're just Mitch McConnell. Like,
I don't know if he was that well-behaved, but I get what you're saying. Like Trump, sassy Trump.
Right. And towards the end, Trump. When he made fun of his own son for being a fat ass, that was like
he was being showered in fuck Joe Biden chants. I think I don't know if that
right, but he didn't do anything to bring that.
Yeah.
He just showed up and people just do that because they're
that's
his
fair.
Acolytes, you know.
Well, changing gears for a moment, I do want to mention something for all metalheads to be excited about. That it is the 50th anniversary of Judas Priest. Technically, it's actually the 51st year, but Judas Priest. 50 Heavy Metal Years of Music box set. It's out now. Listen to the specifically curated, previously unreleased collection, along with a Reflections cutdown in two LP, CD, and digital formats. And this is a very, very cool box set. You get to hear all of Judas Priest's classic, one of the all-time, objectively, one of the greatest heavy metal bands of all time. Check out 50 Heavy Metal Years of Music by Judas Priest.
The granddaddies of heavy metal.
And Rob Halford actually revealed that he was recovering from prostate cancer in the last year.
Aww.
During COVID. He had to get some treatment, some chemical treatments for prostate cancer. And he had it kept coming back.
So is he in remission?
But he's all right now.
Now.
Yeah, he's good now. For now.
Good guy.
Wonderful bloke.
Musician. We talk about a lot of people on here, and it's like a recurring theme that we go, man, the guy's a great musician, but what a piece of shit. Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You have to keep juggling that. And he's just such a great guy. Like, he just seems, I mean, I don't know him personally, but he just seems like such a gregarious, like, good-hearted person. And like, you know, a role model for people that were in the closet and all that stuff. Like, just a really good human being.
Yeah, I've never heard anything bad.
He's an avid metal injection reader as well, which is very
exciting. That's why you like him.
That's not why I like him, but it's very flattering.
He's the one that thinks you have an office.
Wait.
That was his comment.
Hold on. Do you think he clicked on that Vince Neil article?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's probably seen all my snark.
That Robert.
He's not that.
Well,
we
talked about this. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's experienced too. He probably sympathizes. It's something. happens commonly enough. But
they're always when putting the fucking speaker too far from the fucking stage.
I know that venue. I told them.
I phoned the exact same fucking way.
I interviewed Halford last year, and he thanked me for all the help I was doing for bringing heavy metal to the masses and all that stuff. And it was a very nice little compliment. I melted in my chair.
I said, thank you so much, Jamie Joster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your website, yeah. Lamb Goat, is indispensable.
The other woman who's in interviews with you, Metal Sinaz, she's fantastic.
Oh, no.
Now I'm going to bring up the video clip.
Oh, he's got
a Vince Neil Falling?
You already brought it up.
Well, no, because you've...
I believe the joke, Rob.
No!
Is he wearing the same glasses and shirt while doing the interview that he is on the cover of his book?
Glasses, probably shirt, I'm guessing, different.
I don't know. It looked exactly the same.
You could kind of
maybe.
See, and through the reflection of the glasses, you could kind of see the teleprompter that he's reading.
No. That's his laptop.
He read
Come
it
on.
Exactly as Rob wrote it for him. That's
I kid. I kid.
You know, doing that Cockney accent, it sounds like you're more, he sounded like more Welsh. Is he Welsh? I don't think I've heard too many like him speaking other than singing.
I believe he's from Birmingham.
Who?
Not too good at picking
That's not in Wales.
Yeah, picking apart different British accents.
The royal town of Sutton Coldfield.
Now that I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's Birmingham.
I don't feel like I've heard him talk that all that often.
Oh, he's a talker.
Maybe here and there.
I do also want to mention Slipknot, one of the most thrilling and visceral music collectives on the planet, are excited to announce a return to the road for their incendiary 2021 incarnation of the Knotfest Roadshow. Support comes from three Grammy-nominated heavy music luminaries, which are Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, Code Orange. The 28-date run produced by Live Nation kicks off following the band's previously announced Knotfest Iowa hometown show, Des Moines, Iowa, on September 25th. And the Knotfest Roadshows are on the road right now. Go and see it. It's quite an experience. KnotFestRoadshow.com has all the information you need on tickets and remaining tour dates.
And all stage monitors and speakers are flush against the side of the stage. So,
oh, good.
No worries about Corey Taylor flying into the crowd unexpectedly. You will be safe, as will the performers.
Team goes and checks the flushness of the speakers. Yeah.
And the benefit of performing in a mask is even if you fall off the stage and break your ribs, you just get somebody else in that mask and the fans don't know the difference.
Yeah. They probably have like Star Trek geek fans that can just tell by the guy's build that it's like
his shoulders are slumped a little bit.
Voice.
That's not Corey.
His voice, I
you
think,
just
is
play
gonna be the giveaway.
Track.
No, you can't. Of all the people, you can't do Corey.
Is there an update on the MGK Corey Taylor drama? Anything new happened?
Oh, no.
Just curious.
Both fell off the stage.
If only.
Well, we know MGK once got powerbombed off of a stage, so he should sympathize a little bit with Vince.
Maybe they could have him sing for Motley Crue. He already did their movie, right? So, like, he's in the family.
He's Tom Lee in that movie, right?
Yeah. Close enough.
Rob, did you see, him and Megan Fox did this, like, very weird spread for GQ? And she was saying that when he was courting her or whatever, he like comes up to her and he goes, I don't know what she said to him. She's like, oh, who are you? And he goes, I am weed.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
We did talk about this last week. And she said, you smell like weed. And he goes, I am weed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, Dan Ozzie brought it up.
Noah's got a little
Alzheimer's.
MGK crush. Can't get them out of your head.
It's Alzheimer's.
No. Don't pretend. I know what's going on. I see that twinkle in your eye.
I it is a like a car wreck that I can't look away from. But it's mostly for Megan Fox because I think she's super hot, and I just want to see what happens.
They'll probably fuck.
Oh, Noah and Megan Fox.
All of the above.
I mean, they're great for each other's career. They're getting each other all this lovely press.
So are you saying it's like a Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy situation?
Oh, my God. Wow. Really that is the only time in the universe that anyone will make that comparison. Darren, you just uttered a 100% original sentence. You can be very proud. That will never be said again.
I may go viral. Who knows?
Tag MGK in the video. And then he'll have to Google who all those people are that you just named.
Yeah, we'll just have a bunch of boomers like suddenly listening to our show. Spencer Tracy reference. 1939.
Wow.
And also Noah has the Munsters up there.
Yeah.
Too. Although it's the new Munsters, but still that appeals to boomers.
I like that the spire of the house is like poking out of the top of her head like an alfalfa hair spike.
I really think a lot of boomers are going to go hate watch this movie. I think.
Which one? Adam's Family?
No, the Munsters.
Oh.
The Munsters up there.
The Munsters, sorry.
Yeah, but I think because the boomers are so like provincial about their shows. Like I always see on Facebook, I showed Rob this. There was like I belong to a honeymooners group on Facebook. By the way,
you just said the second most original sentence that's ever been uttered.
My entire Facebook feed is now just ads, like three or four groups that I belong to from years and years ago when I cared about Facebook, and like three people that I know that still use Facebook. And that's all on repeat. Anyone really under the age of 50 that actually uses it. But anyway, you go into these groups like Honeymooners in Colombo. These people are convinced that there's like a cadre of like millennials who are sitting in boardrooms trying to cancel the Honeymooners because there's fat jokes in it.
And there's also like, domestic violence jokes. That's probably right. The more serious issue if there is
that,
one.
That comes up too. Yeah. Like, oh, you can't like threaten to send your wife to the moon anymore? You know, remember a simpler time when that was normal? But as I want to point out, like, the show's still on 70 times a day in, like,
where?
Every single city in the U.S. It's on, like, TV Land. It's, you know, it's on all these – it jumps around. It's on Cozy TV. Just
and it's,
all these.
It's probably the oldest show that's still regularly on TV. So yeah. If it disappeared tomorrow, that wouldn't be outlandish. You're just like, all right, well, everyone who remembers this show from when they were alive is now dead, so we could stop playing it.
Yeah. And they show All in the Family that has N-word in it. You know, they show all this stuff. So where's this canceling even happening? I just want to be a victim.
Yeah. Who is anyone noteworthy in this Munsters movie, or is it all just like random, like Friends of Rob Zombie? Like I know almost nothing about it.
And don't remember anything jumping out at me. But the
guy. I didn't know anyone except for his wife, Sherry Moon.
Why can't I think of her name now? What's his wife? Lily. She looks like a good Lily, but the Herman looks terrible. The worst makeup I've ever seen. Look at that. What is that? Doesn't look like Herman. I mean, it vaguely looks like Herman Munster, but it's just a terrible job.
It's Jeff Daniel Phillips is the actor.
Who is
that? I did see that and thought it was Jeff Daniels.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
Me too. And I was like, wow, he looks so different in that Frankenstein makeup.
And is this just the guy that does Rob Zombie movies, basically?
I'm not sure.
It looks like.
I'm so bad with names and stuff, so I couldn't place who that is.
He's got a lot of credits, but a lot of it is Rob Zombie stuff. He was in the Caveman TV show. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The Geico Caveman?
I think this is a good makeup here for the dad, for the grandpa or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I might be locked into my perceptions of the original cast too much, so I might need to give them a fair chance. But I just don't
see what it looks in motion.
The weird thing for me,
looks like a millennial. I'm sorry, that doesn't look like Herman Munster.
Too skinny.
Skinny. I don't know how tall he is. But.
I sort of like my memories are smushed up between the original like 60s or whatever Munsters, and then the reboot that they did on TV in like what was it, the late 80s, early 90s? They did the Munsters Today. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh yeah.
So I can't remember who I remember from which one at this point.
I always thought that Ed Koch was the grandfather.
The mayor, Ed Koch?
Yeah, I always thought he played the grandpa.
You thought that was Al Lewis?
Yeah, hold
they
on.
They sounded similar. I could see it. They're both like old New York Jewy sounding dudes.
What's the original guy's name?
Al Lewis, I think.
Come on, they look the so much the same.
Rob, cue up some Al Lewis footage.
Yeah, it looks exactly like Ed Koch. So when I was a kid, I used to think it was
Al Lewis
the same.
Was like wider. He was like chubbier, flabbier looking.
Like he looks like Ed Koch here.
Yeah. Ed Koch never had a mustache, though.
Okay, now look up Ed Koch. Well, it's fresh in our minds.
And then look up if there's a picture of the two of them together. There very well may be.
Okay, so wait. Go to the one with him going like this with his fist to his chin.
This one?
Yeah. And he used to host the People's Court, right? Because I think that's where I used to watch him.
Ed Koch, did he? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think like briefly before they changed it to that other guy.
To Mills Lane? Wasn't Mills Lane the host for a while, or was that his own separate show? That might have been his own separate show.
So it's so interesting. I remember, this is how I remember the Munsters, with the Munsters Today, except for Herman.
Yeah. I don't
Herman,
remember.
I remember.
This Herman looks even worse than the current Herman.
Yeah. This is the Herman I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And Grandpa, but then the rest of them, I think I remember from the modern.
Do you see the far lower left? There was that 80s TV revival of the
Monsters. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And I said that I thought Ed Koch was the grandfather in the Monsters, but apparently it was Al Lewis.
There is a resemblance. Al Lewis used to be on Howard Stern.
Yes, he's great on that.
Yeah, he's awesome. John Shuck was the Herman Munster for the revival. He's like one of those that guys that's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the Munsters Today is streaming anywhere.
I can't imagine.
It's been canceled.
Yeah.
These millennials can't take the Munsters.
First they go after the Munsters revival, then they go after the Honeymooners. That's how it always happens.
They probably, you know. If anything, I feel like the Munsters would have been one that would be canceled by the old people because it's like demonic or something.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu and it's on NBC. So it's probably
on the reboot?
The Munsters Today? Munsters Today, yeah.
Wow. Wow. That is surprising.
You know what's the funniest thing? And not much was funny about that reboot, but one thing that was unintentionally hilarious was they took the theme song, you know, and they just put words to it. And it was like, we went to, this is the premise of the show is in the song. We went to sleep 30 years ago, and we woke up with a brand new show.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
That's cute.
Wow.
On the nose. Like, why bother?
That
used to be on syndication. I remember it used to come out right after Glow. I used to watch Glow.
Oh, my God,
Monsters Today would come
Channel out. 11 on, like, a Saturday afternoon.
Yep, and then eventually they got rid of that, and they put the Roller Games on.
Yes. Oh man.
I love the Roller
Games. That was an awesome double feature, Glow and then the Roller Games.
Roller Games was so good. If anyone doesn't know, they just had a roller derby, but it was like a work. It was like they had all these heel teams and baby face teams, totally planned. They had storylines and they had actual roller derby matches.
That's something they should bring back.
Yeah.
They tried in the early aughts and then it just didn't have any ratings on Spike. Mm.
It had to be campy. I feel like the Spike one was trying to be too much of a sport.
Man. Yeah.
Mm. Here's the Munster Today.
So terrible. Lee Merriweather. He's a big star.
Oh, there's no lyrics.
It's coming up. It comes at the end, I think. That guy was in Police Academy. How do I remember that? Today.
Oh. Wow. See, there were reboots even in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Hollywood was already out of ideas.
I mean, there was so much shit. There was like 5 Gilligan's Island TV movies. Like, they had the Harlem Globetrotters show up on Gilligan's Island. Like, they were already wringing the shit out of everything they could back then.
Yeah, all those Baywatch reboots.
Oh, my God.
Too many.
Baywatch Nights. That was hilarious.
What was that show with all the WCW guys that was on the beach on the ripoff of Baywatch?
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise, right.
Thunder in Paradise.
I feel like Hulk Hogan
the girls
was in that
pretty.
And
oh,
Chris
they
Lemon
look nice.
Or something.
Yep, and Brutus Beefcake.
Wait,
like all his
friends.
Noah, did you just think that was a dream you had?
No, I mean, like, Rob started singing and it came to me, but I wouldn't have been able to place where I know that theme song from.
Oh,
probably
man.
Knew
just
it
from
Rob
syndication.
Over and over again. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Rob used to sing it all the time when we would hang out in high school.
Wow, this really is the Baywatch intro.
So Baywatch.
Like pan flutes.
This is the Quechua Baywatch. Quechua watch.
Oh my goodness. This has to be a Patreon episode. We should watch this on Patreon.
Fuck yes. Let's do it right now. So it wasn't really the beach. It was like a tropical, you know, Baywatch was in California. And this is like they're in Fiji or something, right?
It's like in Hawaii or something.
Oh, okay.
Wait, this is not the song we were singing, though, Rob.
It's similar. Hold on. I guess it was close.
Oh, no, Bikini Girls.
Game of the days.
Hogan's going to shoot the Bikini Girls. What did they ever do to you, Hulk?
Mistaken identity, brother. Friendly fire, dude.
There's nothing about the girls looking pretty in this intro, Rob. This is probably like the last season.
They really didn't know what the selling point of this show was. They were just like, they thought it was Hulk Hogan. Okay.
Oh, this was on network television?
They got it together.
It was on like Channel 9. It was another syndication type show.
Yeah, Insta syndication. Never had like a run on a network.
It was like this and They Came from Outer Space back to back.
But I think this was on TNT though. This was like because
it was
like a companion to Nitro or something.
Oh. Okay.
Right? Am I right?
I think
Rob?
They eventually bought the rights to it when Hogan went to WCW, but
oh, okay.
He was doing this. Okay, this is different. Here we go.
Yeah,
at what point does the IO Digital Cable Shark pop out of the water?
No,
it's an
eye patch.
Hold on, let's wait for the hook.
You need to look for season one.
Why does he have an eye patch?
He tried to use a electronic ab roller and he put it on his eye.
No.
And then he fell off a stage and hit his eye against the speaker. No.
Or maybe he was eating a chicken parm and some of the marinara sauce squirted him in his eye and it burned his cornea.
I feel like such a fat pig, brother. And a cyclops, dude.
Is this
Rob,
why
what
they
the
named the show
Thunder? What is this?
What the F
Maybe
were we
it's the
thinking?
Outro?
I don't know. Chris Lemon's character is named Santiago? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Cultural appropriation.
Wow.
Whitest white, Jack Lemon's son.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, this is it. Okay.
This is definitely a middle-aged white guy singing this, right?
Yes.
Wait, did you see that?
Yes.
End
title written by Terry Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Hart, and John McClane.
That might
Wait,
be
that's
Jimmy
them
Hart
singing
singing
this?
That might be Jimmy
They wrote
Hart
it.
Singing.
Paradise.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
It's Papa Shango singing.
Wait, what do you say? If you mess with...
Mess with him is like rolling the dice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
so
man.
Something good might happen.
Hey, you might
you win
a lottery.
Money.
Playing with your life.
No, Sid, it's just varying degrees of how much he's going to paralyze you.
He's going to give you a leg drop.
Oh, man, this really just brought me back to being like 12 watching
I know.
WWOR television.
I think I know the ending because Widget the World Watcher would come on after
what
this.
What the fuck is that?
That's probably why you have it in your head, because it's like, oh, finally, the show is over. Now the show I want to watch can be on, mm-hmm. but then just that earworm.
Nobody knows Widget?
No.
You didn't watch it as a kid on
what
Zoom
is
Line?
It? Is it a cartoon? Or
it was an alien that, like, came to Earth and observed.
Rob, find this. Like, the rest of the episode is just us going down a syndicated TV from our childhood rabbit hole.
Yeah,
Widget,
I remember the intro. Whoa. Whoa, Widget the World Watcher. No?
I have this does not ring a bell at all.
This is probably why I like power metal.
Have we seen Widget in this thing yet? Oh,
there
no. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
It's like the alien from Mac and Me, but he's purple.
This is crazy. Noah, I'll say my thing after.
Is this Marianne from Brooklyn talking?
Noah, you're blowing my mind right now because let me explain this to you.
Okay.
For 20 years, I've been trying to remember what this cartoon was. I'm not exaggerating. And to the point that I almost thought it was a whole hallucination of like, I remember I loved this cartoon and it was some purple creature. And I couldn't even like explain it. But, you know, I barely remembered it. But now the moment that I saw this, I was like, holy shit, this is it. This is the cartoon that I couldn't remember. I was obsessed with this cartoon when I was a kid. I was obsessed.
That's why we're friends.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you another syndicated show from Saturday afternoon that I bet you will only just remember now as I say it. They came from outer space.
Yeah, I mentioned it before. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I love that show.
I don't think I know that show.
It was live action. It was like these two like slacker aliens. Like trying to just like hang out and max the women.
Oh, I did very much love this show.
They had powers from space and they used it to like take girls' skirts off and stuff like that. And finagle them into sexual situations.
And like this guy was in like everything for like 2 years.
Uh-huh.
This guy.
Wasn't he in like Ski School or one of those movies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
I don't think I was allowed to watch this or we didn't have access to this.
They
was this on cable?
No, it was on Channel 9.
Channel 9. They would just hang out at the beach and, like, play volleyball and, like, then there'd be, like, a mild attempt at a plot and their powers would come into play. But really, they were just, like, trying to get laid. This guy was, like, the more reasonable one, right? The other guy was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just the theme. I thought there was going to be some of the show. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Here,
no, that's Widget. Oh. Oh, that actor.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he now, I wonder?
He had a lot of, like, Robin Williams energy, with not as much talent.
Also a lot of Dweezil Zappa energy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the man who plays the father, I feel like he was in a lot of things.
Oh, it looks like a Seinfeld side character.
Yeah.
Man, I am like totally just in flashback to Saturday afternoon with like Thunder in Paradise, this, Widget, yeah. Like,
Xena and Hercules.
Oh, Xena and Hercules double feature. And it was so funny because Hercules, the Hercules show with Kevin Sorbo was the first to come out. And I loved it. I was obsessed. It coincided with learning about Greek mythology and like social studies. So it was like the perfect timing for me. I was all about it. And then Xena came along and I was like, oh, this is cool, but it's not like as cool as Hercules. But then like a year or two later, it was like, no, Xena's the show. Hercules is like yesterday's news.
Boring.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was all on syndication. It's crazy. None of this was on network. I guess it was on networks, but it wasn't on.
No, they didn't work.
Same time all over the country.
There wasn't any like CW yet. This was just like they just pure syndication.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that Mortal Kombat show?
Yes.
What was it called? Mortal Kombat, or what was it called?
It was this episodic Mortal Kombat show, and it was that was paired up with Hercules, I think, until Xena came out.
Huh.
Pretty sure.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that show was like really underrated and good and corny as shit, but it was for a kid sensibilities. It was very, very cool. If I look back at it now, it's probably horrible. I remember it fondly. Small Wonder, that was another one.
Yes. I think favorite of those kind of sitcoms was Out of This World. That was the name of it, right? With the girl whose dad was an alien, so she had powers.
She was a robot.
That time. No, that's Small Wonder.
Oh, okay.
So Out of This World was Evie.
Yes. She touched her fingers together to stop time.
Yeah, great show.
I always wanted that power. Yeah. I would rob people and look under a girl's shirts. Yeah. That was what my dream was back then, if I had that power. I'd be rich and I'd see boobs.
Nothing about consent.
No. I was too young to know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
And the mom on this was the lady from Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yeah?
Donna Pescal.
I just wanted the theme song. Or the intro round. Here we go. No!
It's an Optimum commercial, but not the one.
Not the one that we like.
Most of them suck.
Yeah.
There's no. Yeah, they're not fun anymore.
Here it is. It's like spaceships and planets.
Cheapest fucking effects on this.
Yeah.
All these shows are so cheap.
It's so crazy because, you know, you just bought the illusion as a kid, but watching it now, it's like, wow, this is very lo-fi.
It's like
recreatable in Instagram
great.
Filters.
Done.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. It's just interesting how much simpler times were back then.
I think even Hercules and Xena were kind of cheap. Like, they were just above this, but, like, they did a lot with a little, I think.
Yeah, those Hercules sets were definitely, like, low-end.
They
had a budget, but not big budget.
Anytime they could get away with being on a dirt road somewhere, they were always doing a scene on a dirt road.
Maureen Flanagan.
What's she up to, man?
You know, for some of our newer listeners and watchers, I want to say, this is basically what our watch-alongs on Patreon are like.
Yeah.
If you want to hang out with us, watch classic things. We have so many great watch-alongs in the archives. We've done the Motley Crue movie. We've done Heavy Metal Parking Lot. We've done some movies, the Danzig movie.
Stand with Muscles.
We've done a Hulk Hogan. What's the opposite of a classic? A turd?
I mean, for Hulk Hogan, movie. That's a classic.
Until the Light Takes Us, I believe we did. Mm-hmm. Yes. So many. You can get it on our Patreon. It's $5 a month. In addition, you also get 2 bonus episodes a month and access to the video versions of our free weekly episodes. And this month's 2 bonus episodes, it's 2 parts. It's a 2-parter where we go through every track on the Metallica Blacklist, their album of covers of songs from the Black album where they got, you know, I don't know, 120 people and 100 of them are Nothing Else Matters covers. But we had a great time, some great reviews from our patrons. Really enjoy the episodes. So those are the bonus episodes this month. And we hope you can check it out, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. that's the best way to support us. And, you know, if you don't have $5 to burn a month but still want to support us, you could do so for free by liking us on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, and hit up our Discord. The invite is in every episode description. And you could hit up our Discord and chat with us throughout the week. It's nice. Also be cool if you leave a rating and review on your podcast app about us. That'd be helpful.
You know, I you mentioned the Blacklist episodes that we did. I want to just quickly say that I took a whole bunch of shit from people. I said that the Black Album was Metallica's second worst album. And I did, to be fair, when we did the episode, I said maybe. I said I've been thinking about it, and I think it might be the second worst album. I didn't think I was really definitive because I think it's close, and I think I go back and forth with like Reload. Saint Anger is the worst. Let's just get that out of the way. That's the worst album, and I'm not counting Lulu. That's not a real Metallica album and all that stuff. But a lot like the studio, official Metallica studio albums, Saint Anger is the worst, and then I think there's just a whole little sort of hierarchy there, and it's like I like Load. But Reload, Death Magnetic, and the Black Album are all like jockeying for position there. And I think just by fatigue, I think the Black Album might drop below the other two.
No, that's the issue, because like it's also like their most successful album.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like separate. Like, can it be the worst if it's also the best for them, you know?
Yes. Yes.
But there must have been something about it to make it that successful, right? Like there had to have been something there.
It was carefully cultivated to sell lots of records. And I think they made it that way on purpose and they succeeded at it. But that doesn't really make it great music. You know? And I just hold them to a high standard. Like I said in the show, I feel like they're just great musicians and anything they do, even Lulu has moments where their talent shines through, you know? Even the bad Megadeth albums are good. You know, some of them are good in moments. So it's not like the Black Album's a turd.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like on their spectrum of what they've put out in their career, I put that to the back end of it.
The other thing I feel like is that I'd have to say that probably more than half of Metallica fans, the Black Album is how they got into Metallica. Mm-hmm. So that fondness probably prevents them from ever thinking it's a bad album, even if they like the others more now. They would never shit on the album that got them into the band in the first place. But you were already a Metallica fan before that came out. So you're approaching it from, I think, a different perspective than most.
Yes, and that's a very good point. And also I would say I'm happy to admit that I'm far in the minority on this. But I don't think it's that crazy of an opinion. Like I really think if you sit down and objectively listen to those songs, I mean, when we had to listen to them quite a lot, and it's just some of them are good. Holier Than Thou is a great song. Through the Never is a great song. But some of those songs are ass. Like Unforgiven is just a bad song. I'm sorry, it's not a good song. Not because it's overplayed. Like I know it's just a bad song, in my opinion. And Nothing Else Matters is an atrocious song.
It's all right for a ballad. It's just not a Metallica song.
Yeah.
It's just trite. It's just if another band recorded that or not a metal band, I would think.
It's fair.
For me, I think it's more, I can't really judge it anymore because it's just, I hate it because it's so overplayed.
Yeah.
Understood.
So I feel like I can't give a fair assessment of it. Like, and I can't remember how I felt about it when I was first getting it to sell, you know, like.
Oh, I thought you were going to say before listening to it 53 times in a row on our episode.
Well, yeah, that too.
That is when I really started thinking about it again. Like, I'm not like I sit here jerking off thinking about the Black Album all the time. But like,
I would hope not, especially if you hate it so much.
Like, it's just a hate boner. But no, I don't. But it just the fact that because we were doing an episode on it, I started thinking about it objectively. I'm like, well, you know what? It's not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my opinion. You can shit on me if you like.
At the very least, it's in the bottom half.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
100%. All the classic albums of theirs are above it. All the ones that came before, and I would say also Hardwired is a much better album. And I would say the first Load is definitely a much better album. Reload is like the leftover junk from Load, I would say. And there's some good pieces in there, but it's like, like the sessions of Load that didn't make the first album. That's how I look at it. So. But yeah, though the classic albums are way better, and their last album is just fucking phenomenal, like real rejuvenation that they hadn't done in like really like 30 years, I think. So 25 years. Anyway, I want to talk to Nate. I didn't want to go off on a whole thing, but I just thought it was funny that people were so mad about it. I didn't think it was that crazy of an opinion.
You're like the
you
Stephen
could give
Smith
me
of metal.
On the what?
You're the Stephen A. Smith of metal. You have fiery takes that get strong reactions.
Does that mean I'm going to air on ESPN every single second of every day?
Yes.
For the rest of my life?
Yes.
I can do.
And to be clear, those takes were all happening on our Discord. So if you want to rag on Darren's take, log into our Discord and rag on him there, and he'll see it and feel very attacked.
If you know me, you know I'm not averse to debating with people. In a friendly way. I'm not going to go into our Discord and shit on you, but. Okay.
We have a channel for that.
We like we like to debate.
We like.
Yeah. It's a very nice atmosphere on Discord. It's very fun.
Great people in there.
A lot of great regulars. We got some new pop-ups here and there. They're always welcome. Make good contributions.
How do people get into that, Rob?
There's an invite link on our episode page. You can just get it there.
What's the URL for the episode page?
It's metalinjection.net/livecast. Or just on your podcast app. The link is in this episode description. That's so crazy.
A little footnote. I looked up John McGuire. Apparently, before Jim Johnston came around, he was Jimmy Hart's writing partner. Wrote a lot of WWF's music and then WCW music after that.
But we don't know if he sang that song or not, if he was the reggae singer.
Yeah, I think he was. I'd have to go back. I thought I saw that on one of his pages.
Thunder in paradise.
He just looks like a guy that hangs out.
Mess with us, here I'm rolling the dice. Thunder in paradise.
It's such white guy trying to sing reggae energy.
Uh-huh.
I found an article about him. So there's a big picture of him. He just looks like he hangs out in an OTB somewhere. Old man hat.
R.I.P. a legend.
Is he dead?
Probably.
Well, this is from October 2019.
Oh, really?
Maybe not.
Oh, wow.
Well, the flyer for his show.
Huh.
Apparently he just wrote a book. Yeah, he just wrote a book that came out this year.
Wow. He's using the Stranger Things font. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen, buddy. Be careful, JJ.
That definitely looks like a picture taken with Kodak film. That's not a recent picture. He definitely had that printed at the Photomat, 1991.
And he went and jerked off around the back by the dumpster.
Whoa.
I didn't know. Does he not in that picture look like he's the kind of guy that jerks off by dumpsters? Come on.
Oh, absolutely. He does. But I thought you were going.
Patch.
See, I misunderstood your joke. I thought you were going for that, the thing that's a reference for what people did with photomats. Like,
I mean, maybe.
Not a JJ.
Depends on what the photos were of, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, imagine you creep shot somebody and then you just can't wait. You got now in that society, you just had to go and get them developed.
Yeah.
And risk being found out. Then
just
you got
the guy
them.
At the photo mat is okay with illegal upskirt shots and isn't going to report you.
You couldn't wait to get home. Been waiting 3 weeks for these stupid pictures of me.
Well, because he's probably so paranoid that the cops are waiting to arrest him that he might not make it home. You got to rub one out quick because it might be your last.
Good point.
I'm putting myself in that headspace. I'm not speaking from experience.
Well, there's no photo mats now anyway, so it's not even an issue.
It's so sad.
There might be one, like, you know how there's one Blockbuster in
Alaska? Uh-huh, yeah.
Maybe
probably in Williamsburg.
It still fucking develops, you know, your little box, your disposable cameras that you bought to go to Disney World or something. Half our audience probably has no idea. What the fuck? Like, you had to develop your pictures? What does develop mean?
I don't think that's that foreign. People still develop photos.
That was a joke, I know. It's just like when people say, these young kids don't know what cassettes are. Like, they can Google it, you know. It's not like.
And cassettes are in now. They're back in.
Yeah, there's like a hipster revival for cassettes. And Polaroids, actually. But you don't need a photomat to have Polaroids. So.
Polaroids at least served a function. Like, they were just a quick way to get pictures immediately.
Yeah.
But cassettes were, even in the time, cassettes were terrible. Like, nobody liked cassettes. You got cassettes if you couldn't get the LP, if it was out of stock or you couldn't afford it. You got a little shitty cassette, and you would hear your song, and then, like, under it. No one liked cassettes.
No, no. And the tape would rip. It's the whole fucking thing.
It's annoying. You have to sit there with a fucking pencil turning the wheel around to get the tape to work again.
And I fucking rewind that shit. What's the deal with that?
Horrible. You want to get to that one part of the song that you love, you know? Now you can timestamp it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to sit there with your stupid finger on the rewind button for like 4 hours.
Just to find the right spot. You rewound too much. You didn't rewind enough. You got to keep going. And that just damages the tape more.
Yeah, well, aren't there, like, markers now? Like, aren't there track markers?
I think there started to be track markers, like, still even when... Track markers, but not, like, a specific riff part of the song that you want to hear, you know? Like,
yeah. That's fair. All right. Well, that's why we prefer digital playlists. Metal Injection Livecast Music Break on Spotify. That's right. We have a free playlist on Spotify every week. We each drop in a song. It's nice. We like. You can listen to it. It's a nice little accompaniment to the show. And this week I picked some Typo Negative. I've been listening to a lot of Typo Negative. I feel like October is the month to listen to Typo Negative. And I picked Everyone I Love Is Dead. Everyone I love is dead.
But
it's just it's the one hook that's been in my head the last 2 days of all.
Why is everything okay, Rob?
No.
Oh, baby. Sad baby. You're as sad as your commenters now.
But
might be like Nikki Sixx singing that song soon if they don't watch these gaps.
It's like
he doesn't love Vince.
You don't know me. So that's my pick. Sid, what did you pick?
I picked the song Turncoat by the band Anti-Flag because Dan Ozzie, our good pal who was on the show last week, is putting out that book Sellout about punk bands signing to major labels. And one of the bands covered is Anti-Flag, and he actually released a podcast this week where he talks to Chris Number Two from Anti-Flag in more depth about the major label experience and stuff. And this is a song from their major label debut. And it just so happens to be about, like, George W. Bush and that whole administration and that whole era. And Colin Powell.
So
R.I.P. a lizard.
Do you think that Dan Ozzie has his own curse of the podcast? Since Colin Powell died?
Well, Colin Powell wasn't specifically mentioned in the podcast, so I don't think so.
Mm.
I'll give him an out there, though I'm sure Dan would love to take credit for that.
I say you should get on the next week and talk about George Bush.
Right? Pick him off one by one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a great song also, and the album's produced by Tom Morello.
Wow. Dorinsky, what did you pick?
I picked The Headbanger by EPMD. The Headbanger. The Headbanger. Because I was just in that kind of old school mood. I don't really have an elaborate reason. It just popped up as I was getting ready to submit something. And I was like, I'll listen to some EPMD.
Nice.
Early 90s.
So, and Noah?
Mid-career.
Oh, sorry.
EPMD. No, it's okay.
As a tribute to Mr. Zombie, besides my background, which you can't see if you're listening to this, I chose White Zombie's I Am Legend.
Where is that from?
The Sexorcisto. Sexorcisto.
So it's not in reference to Will Smith's performance in that movie.
Well, that was a book before, long before White Zombie came out, so maybe it's about that.
I'm hoping it's about that and not the movie version.
There's also a band called I Am Legend who's great.
Hmm. Is Will Smith in the band?
I think Jada's in the band.
Oh.
No.
Willow. No!
Willow just put out a song with Avril Lavigne.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has that, like a musical career, like a music career, right?
Yeah,
she's
just
a rock following,
man. It's funny because a few months ago, my boss linked me to one of her songs saying how good it was. And I'm like, this just sounds like a shitty Avril Lavigne ripoff. And my boss was like, took offense. And now she's actually working with Avril Lavigne, so I'm going to rub it in his face.
She cites Avril Lavigne as like one of her biggest influences.
Oh my God.
She's not bad. She's perfectly like fine. Like,
no, I like it. Yeah, it's fine.
Not great or anything.
It's
spinning
it's
it right. in my house. But.
I'm just like I mentioned. Like I'm glad it like there's like rock in the mainstream. It's, mm-hmm. it's close enough. That's
well,
my,
so like
that's my take.
You said last week, and it's a good point. I think is that you know you they might start with something you don't give a shit about, but if it gets people listening to what influenced them, you know
yep.
that's a good step in the right direction.
Rob, let me ask you this. If she fell off a stage, is she rock enough that you would cover it?
Who?
Willow Smith.
Sure. I covered the single she did with Travis Barker.
Well, that's just because you're obsessed with Travis Barker.
But also, that's like sort of a rock connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. She rock on her
Here
own.
You go, Willow. You know what you have to do.
Yeah. Look for those big gaps between the stage and the speaker. You can't just fall. Everyone will know you did it on purpose.
Yeah. No clout chasing.
And also, wear a Slayer Angel of Death t-shirt while you do it. That'll help a lot.
All right. It's time to give a shout-out to some people we love. It's our top livecast fans of the week. And to be a top livecast fan of the week, on our Patreon, it's the $10 tier. It's everything you get in the $5 tier. Plus, you get a little shout-ski at the end of the show. I want to do it with the Thunder in Paradise outro theme.
Hell yeah.
Playing. Oh. Hold
on. Why don't you just sing it? Sing it and say the name.
Yeah, I'm going to sing it. Yeah. Hold on. Oh, I want the music.
No, like beatbox the music and say the names.
What do you think I am? What do you think? You're crazy. Where?
Rob, light your spliff.
Let's start over. Yeah! Give a shout out to my man, Eric Benjamin El Dudarino. Then I'll crack the soya. Come I am. Cindy Bayes, Kimba, Jander, Chester, Susan, Dallas, Rob of Amphiro, Hugo likes tacos, Lando Day, LaCroix, Doug Pinkman, who gave Rob the Hickey, Scooby-Doo at 82. I'm off.
What? You thought you're, actually you sound very similar.
Yeah, two left.
Douglas, who are you never seen? Hey guys, it's Josh.
I like that for one or two of them, you turned into the Iron Sheik for some reason. Then you like recovered.
I'm back, folks. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Fuck the Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, why wasn't he on that show?
Oh. I like all these.
Recording stopped. Nice.
My goodness. I did not think we'd be talking about They Came From Outer Space on this show, man. The rabbit holes we go into. I love it.
No, I'm not kidding. I couldn't remember that cartoon. I was like, how am I ever going to...
That's so funny because sporadically that Widget song comes to my head because I used to watch that show so much.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So much.
I do not
oh my God. I just, you know what? I remember I had like a trip, like I was on a mushroom trip and I was remembering scenes
so
from
funny.
The show, like the cave and the spaceship. And I was just like, what? Did this exist? It was like a dinosaur or something. I couldn't describe Widget. I couldn't remember. But I just remember he was purple.
And he the could speak like pipe Widget. It just confused you.
Such powerful acid that you manifested this show into existence in the past.
Yeah, this is not real. This is just your acid trip.
Such something with you. Or even worse, maybe like even you've transcended reality. Like your brain can now, it has so much power, it can manifest things into having happened in the past.
Like the Berenstain Bears. Anything that's the Mandela effect is.
Yeah, I thought it was the Mandela effect. I was like, oh, this doesn't exist. I'm just making something up, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
But the real conspiracy is it wasn't there. You made it happen. Noah remembers it
because you made it happen in the past. And she's
wow. And it's on YouTube.
Right. Okay, so the only thing I wrote down was the Katharine Hepburn Spencer Tracy joke.
Oh, that was a good one. Also, I think the moment 45. When Rob realizes about Widget, I think, is a good moment. Okay. And then we could ask, like, what's a thing that you, what's an old memory that randomly came back when you were least expecting
that
it?
That your friend
like
remembered for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Katharine Hepburn was like 44 minutes in, around there. 45.